y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
One, two, three.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling Stones of the Raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Well, here we are, Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Miss Holly O'Connor.
Hey.
That is associate producer Scotty the Body from USF.
Hey.
And we are back. We told you we're going to be doing this more regularly.
Yes.
But we got to just find the time to do it, and we're doing it. So this was a big weekend for Scotty the Body, and we talked a little bit about this on the show, but we didn't get a chance to go like fully in depth with you, Scott, going to see your girlfriend Mary this weekend in Virginia. What happened?
Well, I mean,
what happened? Everything.
So I guess I'll start right away. Like, I got there, and my biggest worry going into it was like, okay, like, we haven't been able to talk much. I don't know really how you feel about everything. Hopefully you're the same person, because before she left, I mean, she's very much like, she's a very affectionate person in person. Like, for sure. Like,
right.
When we would hang out, it's like, all right, cuddle time. Like, we're going to, like, just hang out. I just want to be with you, you know? And that kind of started right away. As soon as I got there, like, my whole plan was I was going to go to a store, get some flowers, some candies, do something cute. I couldn't even make it in the damn store because she tracked me on my phone, and she came running down the apartment, and we hugged and everything and kissed, and it was kind of, we both looked at each other like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
And we definitely had that moment of like, this doesn't feel real. Like, it just happened like that. And we couldn't really get in the zone of like, what the hell, this is happening? Like, I'm in your world.
Because you haven't seen each other for a while, and so those physical romantic bonds kind of, not break, but like, you have to work to get them back because it's been so long, and it's not like muscle memory anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had to jump back in to just being like, wait, you're real. And that's, I had to literally look at her and just be like, oh my God, like, you're actually here. And this is, it was such an amazing feeling to be like, whew, thank God. Like, it just felt really good to know that she was still very affectionate toward me and still had the same tendencies of all of those things that we had in the past. And that went amazing. It was a good trip all around. It was definitely needed. It was a trip that I should not put off any longer than that time period. Like, 2 months is a long time for so much to happen in life. I mean, I learned that right away with everything that she's gone through with new friends. I met all of her friends and that whole scenario, which is crazy. And it's a little intimidating because I went in there. I was like, I don't know anybody. You know everybody. I'm now the odd one out. All right.
And these are all like new people she's met while she's been there for the past 2 months.
And it's awesome because they're good friends. Mm-hmm. She definitely has a good click going down over there. But I definitely had to just jump right in and be open to just everything. And that was really hard because, I mean, I'm very extroverted, but I also have time where, like, I don't need to be. I don't always feel like it. Mm. But in those moments, it's like, you literally need to put on your best face because as soon as you leave, you are now the talk of the circle for what's going on. So,
oh, yeah, because everyone's going to be like, oh. Because, you know, with Mary, she's very attractive. She's very nice. She's very smart. But she's been saying, I'm sure while she's there, I have this boyfriend, Scott. He's on the radio. Mm-hmm. And they probably checked you out on social media.
That was one of the things. As soon as I got to the bar, we went out. One kid came up to me. He's like, dude, it's so good to meet you. I've been stalking you on your Instagram. I'm like,
oh.
All right, cool.
So
I mean,
weird.
That's what mine's there for, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that's an interesting way to introduce yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you've seen everything in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you are, but awesome. So it definitely was like, I knew my expectation for everyone was going to be way high. And I'm going to be honest, like, when I first got there, I was not feeling. I was like, all right, like, I want to spend time with my girl. Like, I like the bar scene. I like hanging out with y'all, but look, it's been a while. But eventually I got into the groove, and we had a great time after I met my girlfriend's, like, best friend and her boyfriend, who's not in dental school. She just lives with together over in Virginia. Mm. Him and I were clicking really well, and so it ended up being a great scene, and I felt comfortable just kind of just being myself, letting loose, and we had a good time because of it. So that helped. But it was a lot. There's definitely a lot of moments of serious conversation to be like, all right, 4 years is a long time, effing time.
Did you ever in your conversations on this weekend have like a difficult sort of heart to heart on, you know, like, can we do this? Is this possible? Like, was there ever a moment that you felt a little nervous or scared that she, your girlfriend, would say, I don't know if I can do this?
Yeah, no, we did. We did that first night. We went out to dinner and we were kind of talking, and she like said it right away, like, you know, I was nervous when you got here to feel disconnected from you. And I was like, well, do you? She's like, yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's just.
Did your heart sink in that moment?
Like a damn train hit me in the heart. Like, because those are the words. And I knew the conversation needed to be had. But I also knew that it was going to, like, wreck me. And I knew in that moment, all right, I couldn't react. I just had to learn how to just understand what I was feeling and put that out into words. And so I didn't get upset by it or anything. I said, look, like, that's understandable. It'd be weird, honestly, if it wasn't like that, you know, because we've been through so much change and we haven't been able to talk as much as we're used to. And so I just broke it down with her. I'm like, okay, very normal. That's cool. I'm not even going to get upset about it. What could we do now going forward to make sure that we are staying in better communication, that we are still growing with each other? Because this process is not hard. And the hardest thing with all of this, and I know a lot of people have been giving me a lot of great ideas with communicating with her, and that's obviously key when you're in a long-distance relationship. The problem is she doesn't have time to communicate. And so now it's, okay, when we do get to talk, when will it be? How well will we be able to talk? And you know, how long? And so that's the hardest thing, and that was part of the conversation. After we had that whole, like, are you feeling disconnected? And she's like, this is really hard. Like, I don't know if it's fair to you. I don't know if it's fair to me, if my emotional, like, part can handle all this. And that's where we kind of just broke it down. Like, okay, what could we do to improve? What could we do? Is it my fault for the way I'm trying to communicate? Is it that we don't have consistency on certain topics? Do we need to break it down? Like, look, here's my three things I want to tell you about today. Here's yours. As long as I know what's in your life and you know what's in mine, I think we'll be okay. But we can't make it longer than that. And I told her, I was like, I think what we've had the problem running into is when we talk, there's just so much that literally none of it gets communicated. It's like you just had a whole 3 days worth of stuff, and now we're trying to find time. And by the time we're 15 minutes in, it's like, girl, you got to go. Like, I know you can't be on the phone this long. Mm. So knowing what we want to talk about, like, and that's been on me too, because I've been a little bit of a, I don't even know the word for it, like, just immature in my way of approaching it, where I'm like, you know, if you're not going to ask me, I'm not going to tell you. And because I ask her constantly, that was my problem. It's like, I'm reaching, but again, I don't have the life she has right now. She doesn't have time to even think about her own health. Nevertheless, that. So I have to be stepping up to the plate and realizing, like, look, this is what's going on in my life. So you feel connected to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so keeping that line open. But also, we are definitely trying to figure out a plan on, like, when can we talk that's not stressful? How can we get around this whole process of there's going to be days where you can't talk? There's going to be days where you are so stressed out of your mind that it's like talking to me is almost like a burden.
Mm.
And that's what I don't want to have happen. But what can we do in your daily schedule that's like, okay, little things here and there, how could we go about that? That was a big part of it. Yeah, it was hard. I mean, now we needed to have that conversation. I'm glad we had it the first night because it allowed us to really get it out of the way as one that we've been feeling it for months and also come up with a solution. And for me, this was like a process of like, okay, usually I don't get that far. Usually I just get upset and I'm like, all right, and I freak out. And I tried to just not let myself freak out and come up with a solution and move forward with it and see where it goes. But the rest of the weekend was really good. I mean, the rest of the weekend was, it felt like we rekindled. It felt like we were back to who we were, just having fun and going about our days. And by the end of it, it's just, you know, I felt like I was part of her circle there. I felt like her friends loved me. I felt like I made a good impression. So that's good. And I know that when I left, that it would be like that feeling of like, I miss you. Like, I can't wait for you to get back. I can't wait for us to be together. And that was honestly, like, my main thing of what I wanted to have accomplished. Like, I wanted to go there, have a great time, and kind of reminder of, like, look, we make a great team when we're together, and let's just make sure that we're doing things to keep this team.
Let me say the hard thing here that I would wonder if I were in your shoes. And now this is me saying this being 34.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what I was like, and this is me speaking from like what my mind frame, and like now that I sort of can look back at my life and sort of see what's happened, how I changed, what my experiences were.
So you're talking from your wisdom.
From my wisdom, is that I would wonder if this was one of those moments where you say, okay, we love each other, but we're both 22, we're starting our lives out. Do we take a break from each other for a year or two to just sort of see what happens? And then if we're supposed to be together, it'll happen. Mm. Because as a friend, I see the love that you two have for each other. And it's all very real. It's very tangible. It's not this immature puppy love. It's very much a real mature relationship. But at the same time, also with the wisdom of also being 34, I wonder if this is a situation where you two were putting more stress on each other than it needs to be, and if you should take a break in order to focus on each other's lives. But on the other side of that as well, that might bring even more stress because then you'd be getting over heartbreak over not being there, because there's so much life that's going to happen over the next 10, 15 years that your life is going to grow and change and spiral and twist and turn in ways that, like, you would have never even thought possible. And so I wonder if that is what you want to focus on.
I mean, it's interesting because these are not thoughts that I've taboo to. Like, they're real. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing to actually think of. And I understand that it might even be another side to it. But at the same time, for me, I kind of look at it in two ways. Like, one, with the whole word break, like, for me, like, I've never been able to think of I could survive that. Like, I think, like, let's just say, like, hypothetical, we decided to take a break. Like, ooh, I don't know. Because I don't want to, like, and that's how I kind of break it down in my head. Like, I don't want to be with anybody else. Like, I don't, when people are, let's say, just, I guess, a subsection of guys, when guys are like, oh, I want to go out and be with all these, literally, I've had more fun in my life with Mary, with this girl, than anybody I've ever been with. And I don't, even if it is a stress right now, like, I'm willing to see how it goes. And I also realize that it's so early on. And that's kind of what I told Mary, too. I was like, we're in the first couple months of this, and I knew this was going to happen. I knew we were going to come here and be like, what the actual F? I knew it was going to be busier than you could have ever imagined, and I knew we're going to have troubles that are going to come along the way that we couldn't even think of. But they're here, and we're facing them, and we're seeing what they are. But I also realize that there are people that have been through things much harder than this and that have survived. And so that's, it's kind of like understanding, like, what is the difference here? I mean, I'm sure that everyone's faced these battles. So what is it, like, that gets you through it all? And what allows a couple to get through it all? Because, like, and I told her, and we both kind of, like, had the same kind of feelings, like, in it to win it. Absolutely.
Right.
We just got to figure out the right way to go about it. And that's the hardest thing right now. It's like, there's no written out thing of, like, this is how you get through it.
Right.
You have to do it on a circumstance basis. And right now it's really hard because it's not like she just moved. Like, if she just moved and is working, that'd be a lot easier.
Right. Because
then we could have schedule and our time to talk. But right now it's like, she's taking in so much information that it's absurd. And I'm like, I'm realizing that now, but it's also, how do I get her life a little easier and make sure that she still feels like she could talk to me every now and then? It's hard. It's extremely difficult. It's scary. I think that's the one thing. Like, when I even think about, like, my heart kind of sank when you brought it up of, like, if you could, like, split. And I was like, ooh, I mean, that would wreck me. And because I do imagine, like, in those moments, like, what if I get that call? Like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Wrecked. I'm not even gonna, I don't know how I feel about this right now, because I could go down my whole emotional path right now. Not sure if I want to right now, but I would just be devastated, because I look at everything. Like, there's not a problem in our relationship, and I think the one thing that would be, that it would just piss me off. Like, I think that's so, easy word, dumb. You have so much, and, like, nobody else has ever compared to this. Nobody else has had these memories, these experiences. We've gone through so much, and to let something like this break you apart.
Right. Why let something so simple?
Yeah, and I know it's not simple, but it's that thought of, like, I would be so angered because that was the cause of it. You know, like, out of 3 years, so much, and this little thing on the side that just came up, that's going to do it. That's going to be the one thing.
But Scott, it's not little.
Yeah, I know. I know it's, you know, it's a huge triumph. And I realize, like, this is the problems that people face in these long-distance relationships. It's like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Because you literally are in two different worlds, pretty much. You're going through different experiences. And I see that with her, with her friends. And I think that's why it was key for me to go meet her friends.
For sure.
Because now I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I know who you're with. I know what you're doing.
Now you can reference people when she talks about them.
Exactly. And that's going to help me a ton going forward. And I also hope that, like, it helps them. So when she's not with me and they are out or anything like that, like, they know what we have. They know who I am. And it kind of helps carry the relationship to the next step, to the next landmark. But right now, it's just, it's going to be figuring out what is the line of too much, when is too much time passed, and knowing that we're still growing together and keeping those open lines of communication. but it has to be so effective.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the scary thing. It has to be so down to a T on, like, when we talk, how long we talk.
Mm-hmm.
In this 5 minutes, am I getting across everything I need to make it to the next day? That part of stuff.
I'm curious, Holly, what do you think, as we've sort of taken in picking apart what he's feeling right now?
Obviously, it's hard. You know, it's not for everybody. Like,
no.
I commend you guys for trying so hard. My question, I'm trying to figure out, like, how I want to go down this line. So, like, my question is, obviously, you're committed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talked about it on the podcast last week. We've talked about it on the air. I mean, you can see it in your daily life. Like, we see you probably more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we see you day to day. We see your social media. We know you're committed. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same for her? And obviously, you're not her. And, you know, you can't always just be like, hey, how committed are you? Because, like, that's not really a question one asks. But, like, how do you feel? Yes, I know she's super busy. Like, that, I can't imagine what that type of level education must be like. Like, literally, you said, like, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Insane, right? But, like, even with that amount of busyness, do you feel in your soul that she's willing to put forth the same kind of commitment that you are, because it's, you have to be on the same level of mm-hmm. commitment, and then you'll make it work, like, period. So, and before you answer, I'm never a big proponent of getting together so young, staying together, like, trying so hard to make it work. I've never been a big proponent of that. That's not to say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I have friends who, you met them actually a couple weeks ago. I have friends that they're high school sweethearts and they had to spend some time apart and they made it work. One of my college roommates, and I forgot about this, I was in her wedding. She was dating this guy, John, in high school. She went to college. He went off to the Marines. And so they barely saw each other. Like, we're talking once every, maybe like a few times a year. That's it. And she had some, you know, like, they, I don't know what they did exactly. I know she was sort of interested in this one guy at college for a little while, but then ultimately she ended up with John and they got married and they're still married to this day. And I mean, I was in that wedding. So I saw that it can happen with a long distance situation, but I'm just curious how you guys are equally committed, because I feel like Lindsay's relationship with John when he was in the Marines and she was in college, it went through some cycles of, like, I don't really know. I mean, John's over here, whatever. And I mean, that's just the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I know at the end of the day, she was committed. Like, she was the first person I knew to get a cell phone. So, like, she would call him, like, on Saturday nights when he was out in Bahrain or whatever, when she could. So, I don't know. I feel like you got to judge your levels of commitment and what you're feeling, because you probably shouldn't ignore what your gut is telling you.
Yeah. I think for me, like, I know she's committed. It's the fact of, no matter how committed you are you able to recognize that and deal with it? Because I think after these discussions, for me, I realized, like, she's, like, adjusting, and she's taking a lot to adjust to kind of get into this full swing of life and doing mm-hmm. everything she can. And I told her, I was like, I don't want to be, like, I am not your priority right now. Like, work on your stuff right now.
Well, yeah, but you still have to be a priority.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I am. It's just, I think she's also dealing with, like, how do I balance that, you know? Like,
sure.
Because she called, like, and we talked about it, like, she calls me when she can. She texts me when she can. It's just, I guess the question is, like, is that enough? Like, I guess if it's that enough for both of our emotional needs.
Right.
For
good.
4 years.
That's really good. And then, okay, the other follow-up I have to this whole thing is, like, so do you know what the end goal is? Because, I mean, I'm assuming, and maybe this is why you shouldn't assume, but are you assuming that marriage is the end goal? So, like, after she graduates and she's a dentist, and then I don't know where life is going to take both of you, but you end up obviously in the same town and you get married. Is that the goal for both of you?
That would be the goal for both of us, yeah.
Okay. And have you talked
about
that?
We've had talk about it, yeah.
Awesome. That was my only question, because I was like, well, I have to make sure that, like, the two of you have the same goal.
Yeah.
Eventually, because otherwise, then what are you doing? But yeah. That's fine that you're on the same page, same goal, and that can work. It's not like it's you've seen examples of people, and our listeners, our fam, have come to us and they're like, I have advice for Scotty, and here's what they need to do. Everybody's got different. You got to figure out what works for you. But I think commitment level is the big thing. Paying attention to how you feel in your soul, in your spirit, and not ignoring that, and addressing those issues when they come up, as they come up.
Yeah, that's something I've really, like, this has definitely been the test of me just opening up when I have to open up and allowing my emotion just be out there. Now I think my whole practice is, how do I communicate that properly? Because, you know, in the past couple months, I definitely have had moments where I'm like, and go. And it's just like flood of stuff I've been feeling, but I don't communicate in a way of like, this is what I'm feeling, and I think this is how we could get through it. It's more so I start talking about it, and then I start thinking more about it, and I get a little frustrated. And then it turns out into this whole other side of, like, frustration that just kicks in, and it kind of just ruins a whole moment of why I even brought it up in the first place.
Well, but see, that's okay. I mean, no humans know how to communicate that well. I mean, we're all still learning, and no one gets it right all the time because you're dealing with your own psyche and your own upbringing, like we talked about last week with all my therapy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody know how to do it.
No.
The fact that you're willing to do it is really all that matters. Like, you can learn tools and tricks and tips on how to best communicate that for your partner because it's different. I mean, like, let's say you were with someone other than Mary. That person might need you to communicate differently than Mary does. So it's specific to your relationship. And I think the fact that you haven't figured out how yet is not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you're willing to do it, that's everything. The fact that you don't know how necessarily yet, I'm 37. I'm still learning this now. So,
I think until you're dead, do you really realize?
Man.
You're still learning until the day you die how to properly communicate your emotions. Because we're complicated beings.
Correct.
That emotions come at us from so many different sides that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And every day is a little bit different. One day something could affect me, and maybe there's something from 2 days ago that's still lingering inside of my psyche that I didn't know, I didn't address.
Right.
And here I'm still pissed about it, and I have no clue. And I'm thinking it's because I'm hungry.
Right, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like that, I'm not worried about that. That's like a non-issue.
Yeah.
The issue is that you're open and willing to discuss, not how you do it, I think. Does that, I mean,
no,
absolutely.
I've had my moments where like is it worth it? And I like, that's where I have to push past it and be like, absolutely. Because I know, and I'm realizing it now, like the more that I just sit inside, like it's going to come out eventually, and it's going to come out in the wrong way.
Yeah.
That just kind of just ruins the whole thing about it. And so I've definitely been more open, but it's almost like I got to just time it properly and like do it the right way of, all right, I know today is like a 5-minute conversation. How could I effectively talk about this, get past it, and then still have a good conversation? Because that could be our only one for the day.
Right.
That's the hard part. And I also don't, and this is one of the things, I'm reading this whole book, but like when you condition to people, like you don't want to always have that like negative, like little taste in your mouth. If like every time I got on the phone, every time we texted and it was like, blah, rant about some crap. And if I didn't communicate it properly, well, then it's like, what are we doing on the phone?
And like every time I talk to you, it's negative.
It's negative stuff. And so I've really had to think about that. I'm like, okay, I know this is kind of frustrated, but then I have to think about it on my own. It's like, is it really that frustrated? I'm like, it's not. I can probably just talk about it in a sentence and get done with it. And I've really had to learn, like, if something just frustrated me, saying it, moving past it, not letting like the whole thing just fester again.
Yeah.
Because I also don't want those 5-minute conversations to just be a negative rant.
Mm.
Because again, that timing is so key.
Yes.
Right.
For this so far. And I think, and like I told her, I think right now it's just so much is happening that your mind's like all over the page. I get it. I do think, honestly, she will kind of fall into a thing where she understands pretty much the game. She's going to understand how to play the game, how long she needs to study, what she needs to study for, how she studies best.
Yeah, this is a whole learning thing.
Exactly.
Not only for your relationship, but for her new, you know, just like it is for you.
Yeah.
So you're both learning individually how to deal with your life post-graduation and how to deal with this long-distance relationship.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I'm just, that's like my crutch right now. I'm like, all right, like, I have a feeling, like, right, you're just under so much stress, you're not seeing that right now. But I do understand, like, plenty of people have done this.
Yeah.
And you're way more than smart to be able to figure this out. So I think once you kind of get the hang of it of a couple semesters, of course, they get harder and harder, but you also get better and better.
Yes.
Right.
That, I think, will be, like, that next that's like the next half of like, all right, cool. You have it figured out. We'll be able to figure out better ways of communication, you know, and more weeks to come after this kind of settles.
Good.
I do not envy you. It is. It is, but I'm happy though that you two are working and talking through it. That's the most important part of that, is that you're able to sit down and talk through it.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Trying every day just to figure out what's that next level of communication.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Now, Holly, we talked about last week going through your therapy stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you this weekend had your daughter and your mom
mm-hmm.
all together for one weekend. What happened?
You know what? It was good. This was a good weekend. Let me see here. Okay, so Saturday I took my daughter to Busch Gardens, and that was pretty fun. But what happened is my daughter got sick.
Mm.
So it was a little bit different than normal. But I do tend to feel still like I'm just caretaking both of them. And it's weird because what I wanted to talk about today, this is kind of how I do therapy. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Let's talk about what I want to talk about. It was weird. But on Sunday, my daughter was just literally laying in bed all day, which is so unlike her. You could tell how sick she was.
Mm.
She has got to be doing something at all times, which is why it's so exhausting to parent her,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not a person that's got to be doing something all the time.
Right.
I am content to like sit and color.
Mm.
That's why I like crafting with her. But like she goes through it so fast, it's over in like 10 minutes. So anyway, she was literally just laying in bed all day. So I was like, oh, okay, well, my job is to care for her, make her comfortable, which I did. And then I got a lot of stuff around the house done. And my mom, I think that I've been getting a little bit better at handling her sometimes. So like a couple things popped up. Let me give you a few examples. So we have a Keurig coffee maker. We bought this coffee maker for her because hers broke. And I was like, she's upstairs alone. She don't need like a pot. We're going to get her a Keurig.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets a Keurig and then it like broke. So I brought it down to fix it. And then she has a borrowed coffee pot upstairs. So she comes down. She's like, I'm going to, or at the grocery store last week, she has a coffee pot in her cart. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I just want to get this because I know that you're using the other one. And I'm like, no,
oh.
I'm not. I only have coffee on Saturdays and Sundays. I don't have coffee at home during the week. So those 4 cups of coffee that I'm drinking, I don't need one downstairs. And then we had that conversation. And then this weekend she came down. She's like, well, I guess that do you want me to just get a coffee pot? I'm like, no. Oof. I was like, okay, hold on. No, I told you I'm going to bring this one upstairs when you're done with your coffee. So be done with it. Then there was this whole other thing where she wanted to go to church last night because she'd been sick too. And so I'm like, okay, well, what time do I need to get you there? She said, we'll leave the house at 5:40, but can you pick me up at 6:30? I don't want to be like waiting outside too long. I'm like, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind, Maya's sick. So I dragged her out to take my mom to church. Then we go back home. We sat for like 20 minutes, dragged her back out to the church at 6:30. That bitch was in the church until 7. I was like, and I knew, but I was like, let me just see. So she comes out and she was like, oh my gosh, have you been waiting here since 6:30? I was like, yes, I have. And she was like, why don't listen to me anymore? I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Because when I actually don't listen to you,
yeah,
then you get real mad.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah. And then like, I can tell she knows that she's annoying at certain levels. Like, I'm sorry, I just have one more example.
No, you're fine.
So we go, she's something wrong with her. She can't find her recent episode of NCIS on Netflix. I just don't know where it went. I looked everywhere. I'm like, well, maybe you finished the show. No, I did not. So I go upstairs. She damn sure did finish that show. And I was like, Ma, you finished it. She's like, no, oh. And I'm like, well, maybe you want to watch NCIS Las Vegas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, well, look here. So we go through, a lot of it's like pay per episode. I'm like, F that.
Mm-mm.
So they're on TNT. They have the a bunch of episodes that she hasn't seen yet of Vegas season on that. So I'm like, oh, well, you could watch it here. She's like, okay, good. So I'm like, oh, wait, you have to download the TNT app. Hold on. So as I'm like trying to download the TNT app and sign in with my cable provider. In that, like, 2 seconds, she got frustrated. She was like, I don't even, no, just, it's, ta- no, just, no, just never mind. And I was like, Ma, wait, can you give me a minute? And she was like, this is just a lot of work. And I'm like, Mom, just stop. And have you taken your pills? I don't think so. I'm like, go take your pills. It literally took me less than 5 minutes. She's up and running on the free TNT app because I signed in. And she was like, I just thought it was going to take too long. And I'm like,
but you're not doing anything. You're just watching me do the work.
She creates problems and then solutions and then problems in her own head. And I have to just deal with this floodgate of them. I haven't had another appointment with my therapist since we talked on the last podcast. Mm-hmm. But I will be sharing a lot of this with her and kind of going through all that. So it's just been interesting. Like, I'm trying to sort of take back my life, but I it's not going to happen all at once.
Right.
It's going to be a slow-moving process because it's like she still does it. Even when she's in her, like, aware phase where she's being like, I don't want to inconvenience you, where she's even then, like, you turn around and then she's back in her, but what about my needs?
Now, do you think it's possible when she's in those, like, aware moments, if you say, hey, when you're, like, working yourself up into a tizzy, here is a word or phrase that we can use that can maybe help you snap out of it. So if I say, like, donkey, while you're like, it's taking too long, I don't want to do this, and you're like, it's fine. And if you're just like, mother, donkey, that maybe that's a way for her to just say, okay, hold on. Let me really think about this moment. Am I truly this stressed out? Is there really a reason for me to work myself up? Maybe I need to just calm down.
That's good.
Because maybe it'll just give her a moment of pause. Yeah. Of just be like, all right, hold on.
Right,
let
like,
me really just run it through.
She wouldn't use this word unless something was going on.
Right, like, exactly. Right, and like that's when you know that like, all right, all hell is breaking loose, but there's absolutely no reason that it needs to.
Right. And I really think, I mean, honestly, you're a product of your parents. So I think that's why I'm so calm in an emergency.
Right.
Because somebody had to be. Like my mom will freak the F out about stuff. And so like if there's an emergency or if there's like a trauma, I'm like, what are the facts?
Right.
Everybody stop and let me get the information before we freak out. So it's a good thing I'm that way, I feel like. But that's good. And I'm going to ask my therapist about that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask my mom about that. I didn't tell you all this because it just happened, but I got a text from my cousin Heather this morning. And this is my Auntie Pearl's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So our moms are like, fucking crazy, all they all crazy. But there's always been like, you know, a butting of heads between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently today's Auntie Pearl's birthday and my mom called her to wish her happy birthday. And apparently it ended in like shambles.
No.
Oh,
just this morning?
This morning. And so Heather was like reaching, because she doesn't text me too often, but she's like, your mom ended the call saying that my mom needed to repent before she ends up on her deathbed. Is everything okay?
What is happening?
So, okay. So here's that. I'm a little concerned about my mom. Mm. And I called my brother about this the other day too, because it's like, I don't know if something is wrong.
Mm.
I mean, she goes to the doctor. She has her doctor's appointments. And they say everything's fine, but like as the person who sees her day to day, I don't know if this is a normal just side effect of the brain surgery that she had and having the tumor removed and being on whatever medications that she's on. Like, I don't know if this is just how it's going to be from now on, or because she works herself up so badly that I have to tell her to take her anxiety pills, which they're nothing stronger. That they only last for like an hour. They're not, you know, narcotic of any type, because that would be even worse for her brain.
Yeah.
So she can't be taking pills all the time. But like, I know exactly what happened this morning. So she hadn't taken any pills yet. And she's trying to care for Maya, who's at home sick.
Mm.
And Auntie Pearl is a trigger for her. So she went off the deep end. And I have to now explain to my cousin that my mom's not always well.
Right.
But like, I'm starting to worry about, what does this mean long term? Like, is there something deeper that I should be looking into here? Or is this just
I wonder if they have therapists that like focus on like elder care, or like, is there something where like they can like pinpoint that like after a brain surgery like that, there's something about her personality that's a little bit different, and they have tools to help her walk through it, to help you then understand how to deal with it, because maybe she needs to talk to someone. I mean, because she spends all day, you know, herself. And so maybe having a therapist to sort of help her walk through it might help.
Maybe.
That focuses
and honestly,
on elder care.
I always said that she needed a therapist. And one time I brought it up like 10, 12 years ago, and she was like, I worked through it all.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
No. And so honestly, what I'm seeing, and like, this is why, Scott, I say it's so good that you're trying to like dig through your shit, because in my life over the past year, I've seen what happens when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with my relationship. That is with my mom. Like, mm-hmm. she's never worked through this stuff because she had an abusive mother.
Mm.
And she's got a lot of, and I'm in the middle of texting my cousin. Like, she's got a lot of bitterness, resentment, and anger with her sister because, you know, my nana's dead now.
Right.
So that's where it turns. So she's never dealt with it. And now that she's 70 plus,
mm-hmm.
it's just manifesting itself in these random outbursts.
Right.
And she can't even control it. And, like, if you don't address it, sorry, I don't mean to turn the whole thing into mental health twice.
No, it's
but
fine.
Like, the fact that you have to figure it out. It's like if you had a bullet lodged in your shoulder, you'd need to get it out
right. In
order to make your shoulder better.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have a bullet wound of something that happened to you traumatically, if you don't get it out, it starts to affect you.
Yeah.
Like that's why mental health is so important and why I'm really glad that I'm finally in therapy figuring my shit out. Having said that, and I'll wrap up my tangent about mental health and my mom and all this mess, I had a lot of listeners to this podcast, our Miguel and Holly fam, reach out to me after they listened to the last podcast. And so many women, I don't think any men did. I think it was mostly women that were like, I cried, or you took me to church, or you said what I've always felt but never knew, like that have these issues with their moms. So many. And also women who were like, I didn't know that I need help with this stuff. So thank you. Can you send me the paper that you said you were going to give to Scott? Can you, you know, just listen to this or whatever? And I'm not trying to like therapy you, because as much as I am a therapist, I got enough clients. Thank you. So maybe one day. But like I'm just really glad that we can talk about this. Like talking about this, I felt like it was monopolizing the conversation and it felt boring because who wants to hear all my shitty drama? But it's like taking the cork out. And again, like therapy, this podcast is helping me normalize what I've been going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will be ultimately hugely successful for me in my mental health, and you listening, if this is resonating with you, to help you too.
This is how you work through stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, to me, this sort of thing, this is why I love just sitting back and listening to the two of you. And then, you know, whenever I have stuff going on, is because, like, that's how you deal with it. And that's what this is for. Our show that you listen to on the radio, that serves its purpose. We get to yuck it up. We have
entertain.
Fun. We laugh. Scott ran in a banana costume today through the cells. Meeting today, but then like there's that real stuff that like this is what matters. Like yes, it was fun this morning to hear you run through the office with the banana costume, but what is more impactful, what is more lasting, what leaves a mark on you listening and me just sitting here listening are these deep, heartfelt conversations, because like you said, you're helping yourself work through it, and then you're also helping Miguel and Holly fam work through it, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in your same situation too, Scott, that are trying to wrap their brains around a long-distance relationship, and you're computing and talking about the same fears that they're having as well.
Yeah.
This is life.
Yeah.
What do you think all the shows we watch is about? This is us. It's about this. It's about these sort of issues, and we got to work through it.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Whew, I'm glad I have a platform to do it. I really am. And like, as we go, obviously there's a lot that I have going on internally with my mom and the therapy. And I mentioned briefly relationship, which we haven't gotten into any part of my personal life with that. But I'm hopeful over the next couple months, maybe I'll be able to start talking about that from my perspective.
Right.
So I got to double check that it's okay for me to talk about it, or when it might be okay to talk about it. But I am very looking forward to getting that off my chest.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on pretty much everything except Facebook, which is Holly on Hot 101.5.
Scott?
@ Scott Tavlin. @ Scott Tavlin.
Mine is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. It's facebook.com/radiomiguel. You can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored if you download the free Hot 101.5 app. You can listen there. You can also listen at hot1015tampabay.com and also on iTunes, on a little podcast app. Just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. And please make sure to rate and subscribe so you know when we have new episodes. Mm-hmm.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.